now.
If you're out there and you're listening, I'm being held hostage here by my wife against my will. We were just arguing and now we're live. Let's go.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Jason. I'm not as excited to say hi, Jason, tonight after that. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Couple That Scare Us Together. And I'm your host, Nicole. And this curmudgeon is Jason, who nothing is right in his world and nothing pleases him.
Curmudgeon. That's not true.
You are
Everything's fine. We were having...
You're the definition of curmudgeon. Tell me wrong.
We're married. We're arguing off camera. Now all of a sudden we transition.
There's no difference.
To get on camera.
Yeah.
And we're doing it now in front of the
sure.
camera.
Yeah. And everybody should experience. Everybody should experience.
It's wonderful being married.
I hate you. No, I know. Joe Rogan says you should never get married unless you really feel like you love that person so much you're willing to do something stupid.
We're doing it right now.
I don't care. Fine.
It's not. Let's go. Let's rock and roll.
You know what? I'm going to say this. People, somebody would be lucky to be married to me. I am quite the catch. I am the cat's pajamas. I got a lot going for me. And I think Jason should be more supportive and more appreciative of how much he has. And he's not. He's a curmudgeon. And he complains a lot. And he should have no reason to.
Let me interject here for a second. I'm not saying that I don't want to be married. Stop. What I'm saying is we were just arguing off camera.
Right.
Now, boom, let's transition over here.
Right.
And so,
get yourself together.
Pull the curtain back.
Well, no, don't pull the curtain back. Get yourself together. Don't argue with me
on
camera.
What's wrong?
All right. Well, we're so happy you guys are with us and it can experience this lovely date night experience that we are...
Date morning.
We're taping in the morning today. We're so happy that you came back. We were dark last week.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of knew we were going to be because our life was a dumpster fire. No. Yes. But because we were ramping up to go into our Halloween season, we have done 16 weeks straight. It's a lot. We love it. But sometimes it gets heavy. It just does. We needed a week off. And so now we're back and this is going to ramp up into our Halloween special. And we have lots of fun things planned for you guys that we can kind of share a little bit of that. And we'll go right into the holiday season. I know we want to do a Krampus episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We got to put one in the books. So we got a lot going on. I'm so glad we're back. If you watched our video from 2 weeks ago, that was on the reptilians. Just a little update. It is available on our YouTube channel, The Couple That Scares Together. It's also on our website. Originally, we were told that we violated community standards for, discussing famous people and their connection to the reptilians. Okay, sorry, not sorry. I'm kind of proud. I was thrown off YouTube or whatever I was.
The first of many.
I guess so. But we managed to get it uploaded, so it is available. And tonight we're back with a episode that I think is more aligned to our original vision.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go talk about something spooky. And I think it's perfect for this spooky season. I have my Halloween shirt on. It says Bippity Boppity Boo. It's my pumpkin shirt. And I'm going to have some sort of, Jason doesn't know this, but he will dress in costume.
Absolutely.
During this whole October month. Yes.
Speaking of dumpster fires.
Oh, okay.
What we didn't discuss last week is because we weren't on.
Because our life was a dumpster fire?
Is that there was a literal fire at our house. Last week there was a small stove fire. One of the burners.
No, element.
What's the thing?
Yeah. The element burnt.
The element in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Caught fire.
Sure.
It burned for about 15-20 minutes mm-hmm. to the point where
we
became concerned. I reached out to the local fire department.
Yes.
Three firefighters, I think. Came
14.
It wasn't
14. I counted.
That's all right. So there was a bunch 14. Of firefighters.
Not all firefighters.
It was EMTs were here. Mm-hmm. Paramedics.
Sure.
It was a small stove fire. You would have
it's
thought
contained.
That the whole house, you know,
we
was
tried
ablaze.
To cancel the call. We're like, oh, no, I think it's okay now.
Yeah, so I,
they
I
didn't, they
called them, and then right after I got off the phone, the fire stopped. Mm-hmm. I called them back, said, hey, no problem. Things are cool. You know, don't bother. They, in turn, disregarded that, you know, which is okay, and they're concerned. Came back out. one of the firefighters may or may not have been just a tad bit.
He wasn't a firefighter. First of all, EMT. Stop. He was a volunteer. I think he's a volunteer.
Still a, you know.
Stop.
Well, emergency rescue.
Obviously person. Has different with socialization and social cues and women. So he comes right in and I begin to tell him the story. He ignores my gaze and talks to Jason, which is ridiculous because he doesn't know what's going on. I'm the one who has an idea, and I'm going to go fix this appliance later today, by the way.
He just knew one thing that I was the man, so therefore I was in charge.
I'm already hyped up and everything else, and I am now, I think Jason can tell I'm like, are you kidding me? They're not even going to address me? And what Jason should have done is said, like,
always what I should
directed his attention to me or something that felt more supportive than what he did do, which was kind of chuckle to himself and ignore the situation. To which I announced, oh, okay, well, I guess you just need to hear from a man, so I'll just step aside.
She's, if I may,
was rude.
You were rude to this individual.
Unapologetically. Don't come into my house and ignore me.
Oh my God, you're still.
Oh,
you're
I'm still, so lit.
So, what I said then.
Lit.
What, you know, once they left.
Well, the firefighters then came and they were lovely.
Would you let
the
me
The firefighter
explain?
Was lovely.
Yeah, right.
Two so I don't three, have any problem.
Two guys were gentlemen.
Yes.
They were very helpful.
Yes.
One individual was a bit.
Did you notice it?
Yes.
Okay.
But I wasn't going to draw attention to it because, you know.
Because why?
Because they're there to address the fire and didn't feel like it needed to be addressed. You, however.
I'm
adamant that you needed to.
I'm going
to
address
it in the bud right there on the spot.
Yep.
And my only point, which again caused somewhat of an argument like between us,
yes,
was like, did you really need to be rude to the man?
Yes.
He's there, you know, briefly.
Yes.
He's a stranger.
Yes.
It's, you know, just let it go.
No, I did. I feel good about that. What I don't feel good about that is that you don't understand how upsetting it was to me.
I understood.
To be ignored. Like, I am a woman in my 40s. You're not going to ignore me. I'm done with that. I'm done with it. I'm done.
I just didn't feel like you had to get on your soapbox at that moment, like, and die on that hill.
If I could wear my great-grandmother's suffragette sash, I would have come downstairs in that and said, you know, they let us vote now, too. It was just really telling. So, that was last week. Tonight, though, I think we have something wonderful planned. We're going to travel to New Orleans, and we're going to talk about the LaLaurie house. So we're going to talk about a haunted house. It's kind of gruesome. So if you don't like hearing all the gruesome parts, you might want to close your... He's not on camera.
Hang
that's
on.
Not happening.
Yeah, no, no.
So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And then I know for our October season in a couple weeks, we're going to do Gettysburg because we live here. Close to here, and my girlfriends, I've convinced them to do a girls' night out with our little daughters to do a ghost hunt in Gettysburg. So you're going to hear all about that too, whether you want to or not.
Wade House, etc.
I'm planning a whole evening out for my friends, and it's also our daughter's birthday, so it's going to be a whole hoopla of girls and
sounds like a great time for you while I stay at home.
Somebody has to watch the other children, and it
that
happens
be
to be you.
That's me.
Okay. So, and away we go.
And away we go.
All right. So, the antagonist in our story is Marie Delphine McCarty, who later becomes Marie Delphine, Madame LaLaurie.
Also known as Kathy Bates.
Yes, from the American Horror Story. She was born in New Orleans in Spanish Louisiana in March 19th, 1787. Right, she's one of five children. She was born to pretty prominent members of the community. Her uncle was, by marriage, the governor of the Spanish province. Obviously, a well-to-do person. Important when she was only 4 years old. She was the Haitian Revolution erupted around her, 1791, and it made slaveholders in the southern United States and the Caribbean very afraid of resistance and rebellion among slaves.
Yeah,
so I think that's an important part. Also, Delphine's uncle was murdered in 1771 by his own slaves. Okay, so just painting a picture for you. She has a couple different names because she was married a few times.
Oh, I love this part here.
What?
Very interesting where it says third marriage.
Okay, so...
No, she's just saying...
Oh, yeah, multiple. So she was originally... Marie Delphine McCarty, and then she was Madame Blanc, and then after her third marriage, she became Madame LaLaurie. She was a New Orleans socialite.
Just saying that if that's where things are headed, potentially, this could be the end of us.
Is that all you want to get out now?
Let's go. I'm just kidding.
Perfect. Okay. She was also a serial killer, by there all accounts, that. Who tortured and murdered slaves in her household. Now, there are different accounts to the severity of this, and a lot of it has been sensationalized. Mm-hmm. However, no matter what you read, she wasn't good. Okay? On June 25th, 1825, Delphine married her third husband, who was a physician. His name is Leonard LaLaurie, who was much younger than her. Nothing wrong with that. And in 1831, she bought a property at 1140 Royal Street, which she managed in her own name and with little involvement from her husband. Love that. Don't become a serial killer, but I like that. In 1832, she had a two-story mansion built there, complete with the attached slave quarters. She lived there with her third husband and two daughters and maintained a central position in New Orleans society. The marriage soon showed signs of strain. However, and on November 16th, 1832, Delphine petitioned the first judicial district court for a separation from bed and board of her husband. I like that. And I mean, I don't like that, but that's interesting. In which Delphine claimed that LaLaurie had treated her in such a manner as to render their living together unsupportable. Claims which her son and two of her daughters by Jean Bloch confirmed. Oh, so her like ex-husband was like, yeah, it's not good.
Keep in mind that she's also probably crazy.
Probably.
She is a serial killer after all.
Right, but I don't think he's good either.
Or
he wasn't good.
Allegedly a serial killer.
Okay. The separation does not seem to be permanent, though. So Dr. LaLaurie was present. He was present at the Royal Street House on all of this. All right? Including a fire.
So she...
Ironically.
In the stove?
Kidding. No. Well, yes. Originated in the kitchen.
Did the EMTs come and the firefighters? And like 14 of them?
The town people came.
By horse and buggy?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Yes.
I'm sure they did, actually.
I think so. On the morning of April 10th, 1834, a fire broke out in the LaLaurie residence on Royal Street. It started in the kitchen. When the police and the fire marshals got there, they found a cook. She was a 70-year-old woman chained to the stove by the ankle. She later said that she had set the fire as a suicide attempt because she feared being punished.
Oh,
she
imagine?
Said the slaves taken the uppermost room never came back. So when they went upstairs, they never came back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this fire destroyed part of the house and brought to light that seven slaves were starved, tortured, and chained in the upper part of the building. The nearly helpless were carried to receive medical treatment, so they took them out and food and drink. Nearly 2,000 townspeople came to view the victims. So it was quite the event. They were appalled at the wretch, the sight before them, and they started gathering at the mansion, expecting that the sheriff would come and arrest Delphine because they knew enough of the situation to go, oh, goodness.
Something's wrong here. It needs to be addressed.
However, the sheriff never arrived, and as the day went on, it became apparent that that action would not happen. The crowd slowly transformed into a mob with one thought on vengeance. When Madame LaLaurie managed to escape the fray, the enraged crowd attacked the now empty residence.
Well, like, let's just pause here for 1 second.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that this lady is extremely wealthy and affluent.
Yeah, I think people thought she was an asshole before this.
Yeah, but
and
what
I think
I'm
this
saying
was just
is,
like, check.
She's got a lot of money.
Yes.
And law enforcement is not showing up.
Right.
And probably, to a large part because she's,
Yeah,
she's
also,
rich.
She had slaves. And they're like, that's not even, like, she's, what I mean? It's a property.
Tells me that she's not the only person then that has slaves.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's Louisiana.
Yes. So they stripped,
this
mob, stripped the interior valuables and continued their assault. They tried to dismantle the whole house and the walls. By the next morning, they had nearly demolished the house. Details of the fire and the aftermath were reported by eyewitnesses, and they were in the local newspapers. The account soon picked up national publications. It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Madame LaLaurie was revealed as a monster. They called her demon in the shape of a woman. Fury itself escaped from hell. So she
So nothing's changed.
You're a terrible person. All right. The fire was started in the kitchen, like I said. And they, the slave, the woman that said it, she said either she was trying to end it all or she was trying to call attention to the deplorable conditions.
That's what I believe. That she, that, think about
this. I mean, probably like, if a little bit of both.
That, that, like, what you're facing is going upstairs to your end.
Right.
Like, to be
tortured,
beaten.
Or just that other people were.
Yeah. Like, or those around you.
Yes.
Like, what other, like, what choice do you have? That's actually, like, a pretty smart move on her case.
It was brave.
To say, yeah. Like, I've got two options here. And what I can do is start this fire and then, you know, be rescued, hopefully.
Right.
Or, worst case, I'm killed in the fire.
Sure. And then, like, I'm escaping all
and
of this.
Then I'm escaping. Yeah. Anyway, but to be killed, like, by the hands of that woman, like, this wretched, you know, slave-owning individual who obviously abused, tortured, mutilated, what have you, her slaves, I mean, that's heinous.
Yeah. So there are some varying accounts, okay? So one version is that when they got there, the condition of the slaves were found by authorities. One says that maybe they didn't get to see all the heinous acts, all right? And there are various sort of details that perhaps were sensationalized, but I'm telling you, if even one is true, it's too much. One story says that they encountered slaves that had broken bones numerous times and that were set in unnatural positions.
Oh, boy.
And that one slave, when she moved, her limbs remained crooked and bent, and it sort of resembled a crab. I mean, that's a pretty specific account.
It's gruesome. It's
even if one limb was like that, that's disgusting. Another slave was said to have a hole drilled into his head and a wooden spoon sticking out of it.
I heard that's not true, though.
Well, we don't know. An obvious attempt to stir the brains of a poor... That's what they said.
Again, I heard that.
I know.
Like,
I'm telling you.
Just, if you're listening out there, keep in mind that some of the stuff, you know, probably is...
Well, who cares? She can't sue us for a libel. She's
dead. No, I'm not saying she's going to sue us. I'm just saying, like, you know... you know, it's possible that, you know...
Right, that it's not...
exaggerated.
Okay. Yes. It's also possible that some of it's true. Allegedly, I'll start with that.
Doesn't matter what...
Yeah, I just want to read it. A different person had their skin peeled back to expose tissue and muscle to the naked eye. The story also claims another slave had his intestines removed from his body and wrapped around his naked waist. Others were covered with honey and black ants and lived in torture. The legend goes that the lucky ones were found dead. We don't know. Is it hearsay? Matter of fact, the stories probably were exaggerated. They can trace that back to books that were written and commentaries that were written after the fire broke out. There's some really gruesome renditions told in a book called The Haunted House on Rue Royal in 1946. This author claimed to have information in old newspaper accounts, interviews, and, like, collected neighborhood interviews and stuff to write her book. And people said that's maybe not all true. I think she took a lot of liberties with that. That they uncovered skeletons, right, in all kinds of positions, and that she tried to bury them, and that skulls had holes in them.
It's a good thing to point out that if you're writing a book, like, what's a good way to market your book and to sell more books than to kind of exaggerate just
a bit. Absolutely. But by all accounts, the devastating fire did shine a light on that the slaves were kept in poor condition and that they were being tortured in some sort of manner.
Fashion,
there's even evidence to support that her husband, because he was a doctor, just experimented on the slaves.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So there's a newspaper that was kind of, similar to the National Enquirer at the time that had lots of sensational, you know, information about that. So who knows how much of it's true. However, enough is. All right. We know enough accounts of, I mean, there's one account that she was angry at a slave for brushing her hair too hard. And that she began to whip her all the way around the house until the slave jumped from the, like, balcony. like that. Apparently, there's a newspaper.
She like lunged off.
Right.
Whether to kill herself or just get away. And bang, she died.
Yes. And that that Delphine was running through the house, whipping her. However, one newspaper reported that, and one reported that she was playing the slave girl and on a banister and fell on the marble floor. I think that's a really good cover story. If you whipped a slave and she fell down a balcony, I think I would say that. So
sure.
Yeah. Who knows? So after what happened to this Madame Delphine LaLaurie, she is loosely based on the American Horror Story, which, by the way, is my favorite season. It's Kathy Bates.
She's awesome.
Yes. So on ghost tours, because you can take ghost tours at the LaLaurie house, guides are always asked what happened to her. And after she left New Orleans, we know she went back to France. Her ship docked in
Mobile.
Are you reading my notes?
No.
You can.
Yes.
Before she went back to Paris.
ESP or what have you.
No, that's not true. Her death is pretty much a mystery, though. One account says that she died hunting boar. Okay.
Pigs? Wild pigs?
Yeah.
In France?
Yeah, like on a hunt. But other people are like,
I can see that as she likes cruelty.
Yeah.
And
like hunting?
Elements. Yeah. Like it's, I mean, because I think part of, listen, I don't know much about boar hunting, but they use dogs and horses. And I think at some point there's like a knife involved.
Ooh.
So like you stab. Boar, like the dogs would surround the pig and hold it.
Oh, man.
And then you come up. But I'm telling you, it's really disgusting and bloody. Oh.
Now they just shoot them from helicopters. That's how they boar hunt now. Do you know that?
What?
Mm-hmm. They do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Helicopters?
Yeah. Yes, I heard.
Why? That's not even hunting.
Because the boar population is so,
out of control.
Yeah, out of control. That they have to take a lot of boar. That they shoot from helicopters.
Is this more wildlife management or is it hunting?
Yes.
Because
under the guise
hunting from
that,
a helicopter really doesn't seem like hunting to me.
I don't know.
Like.
I don't want hunting. I don't want to hunt anything.
Physically go out, you know.
I think it's a different kind of hunting.
I would say it's not much in the way of hunting. Mm. I mean, you're in a helicopter.
I know. Well, it's a different thing to do, and maybe I know it does have to do with wildlife management.
If you know about hunting wild boar, if you're out there, somewhere, please reach out to us.
Okay.
Because I'd like to know more about this.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know. All
right. I'm planning my next hunt.
Okay, good.
From a helicopter.
Perfect. We don't know anybody who can do that for us. Other stories report that she returned to New Orleans later in life and had another name, like an assumed name.
Of course.
Historians probably say that's not true, some believe it could have been true. And according to some, the Blanc tomb in St. Louis Cemetery, #1, holds her body. Most likely she died in France, though. There are records kept in France that show she died on December 7th, 1849.
Pearl Harbor.
More significantly, that was December 5th.
December
6th.
1941. Oops.
Yes.
Oops. She was stopped by 24 hours.
Yeah. More significantly, letters exchanged from her children explain how Delphine desperately wanted to return to New Orleans, but that her children forbid it. They would say, do you not remember what happened here?
Yeah, crazy?
Yeah, no. Her children, save the one she had from Louis LaLaurie, all lived the rest of their days with their mother in Paris in the same house.
So think about that. Like, you know that you're a heinous person when your own kids are like, you know what? You probably shouldn't. Or maybe it's just that they're like, hey, we can't return there because, you know, we'll be in prison or something.
Yeah.
Or, was the point that they... Did they still live with her?
Yes. Yeah, in the same house.
Okay, so.
So whatever the truth is, in the late 1930s, Eugene Banks, who served as sexton to St. Louis Cemetery #1 until 1924, discovered an old cracked copper plate in Alley 4 of the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And the inscription on the plate read, Madame LaLaurie, and then it was in French too. And then it said December 7th, 1842. Yeah. So, I don't know. So, the mansion today, despite the nearly two centuries which have passed since the fire in 1834, the events of that year are still told today as though they occurred just yesterday. So, they love talking about this down there.
She's fascinating.
Yes, she is. Facts are spun into tales of brutality and torture until the truth is muddled, until we never know really what it is. The story becomes more and more confusing the more research you do, but the house itself is sort of an entity unto itself. So I don't know if you know this.
No, this part I haven't
heard. Okay, so Nicolas Cage purchased the building, in 2009.
I did hear a little bit about this.
He did it with anonymous, like he didn't want anybody to know he had purchased it. I don't know why.
Can you imagine, like, he has all that money?
He lost it.
That's what I did hear.
So he soon lost it when he went into bankruptcy. His career tanked not long after that.
So much for his money.
New Orleans whispered that it must be the curse of the LaLaurie's mansion.
Must be.
Which caused his downward spiral.
His poor money management.
I'm starting to believe in curses because our appliances are curses. We've
had so many problems of the stove.
We got a stage.
What else do we have?
The dryer.
Yeah,
the
dryer went out and the fridge started leaking water.
Is there
everywhere?
A specific curse in which just goes attacks appliances?
If you can help us, if you're out there, you can help us somehow to
get rid of this.
De-curse
us.
That's the proper nomenclature.
Do I have a poltergeist?
Whatever it is that's attached to my wife, I want you to please remove it. Because it can't possibly be me. It must be her.
I want my appliances to stop breaking. All right. So, records show us that Delphine LaLaurie, that no one has lived at the 1140 Royal Street for more than 5 years.
So wait, it's available, honey.
No.
That's our retirement.
And as the current owner is an oil tycoon from Texas.
We can't. Jerry Jones?
No. So they've only lived in the house since 2012, 2013. So who knows? All right.
Well, all we have to do is just wait this person out.
And we're going to buy. I'm not buying the LaLaurie mansion.
There. We're going to move to New Orleans. Never been there, but let's just make the leap. The big jump.
Not there.
To New Orleans.
Well, is the curse real of the LaLaurie Mansion?
Of course it is.
I don't know. You can go on New Orleans ghost tours and you hear the entire story of Madame LaLaurie and the ghosts and the hauntings that happen on a regularity at the LaLaurie Mansion because they say it's haunted. Their website says, we promise the story you'll hear on the ghost tour is one that you won't forget anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
People ask all the time about the LaLaurie Mansion. You can't go inside. So
what?
If you, yeah, they just take you on a walking tour, like around the property.
Oh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the interior.
Okay. Well, you can't.
Give it a thorough inspection.
You can't. All right. So I think we've talked about, some of the outrageous.
The accounts?
Yeah. There are other accounts that there were specifically 7 slaves upstairs. And one was hanging by the neck, and their limbs were apparently stretched and torn from each other.
Gosh, like Braveheart.
Okay. I don't want to go there.
Freedom.
That she had one was in an iron collar. Ugh.
Iron collar?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so clearly torturing. Clearly. Okay. So that's a picture I'll show you.
Oh, that's a beautiful house.
They
guys.
Redid it.
We're going to have to.
They redid it. Yeah, it's right on the corner.
That looks awesome.
It does.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
We can afford that. That's fine.
Yes. Oh, sure. Yes. All right. It's impressive. It's impressive. It's on Governor Nicholas Street, which was formerly known as Hospital Street. Mm-hmm. It's not truly the same building inhabited that because they rebuilt it after the fire, after that mob burned it down.
It is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is. But it has a rich history itself, all right? And we've talked a little bit about, the folklore that surround her. Sir, I'm going to kind of flip through some of this because we're going to get to what's happening today and the ghost tours. All right, so I'm going to pause here so we can talk about the ghost tours. All right, we're back. So, like I said, the LaLaurie character is portrayed by Kathy Bates in the American Horror Story Coven, which I think is the best one out of the season, or out of the series.
She's awesome, man. She's great.
She's great. Like
anything that she does, whether it's American Horror Story or The Office, when she brings her big Great Danes. That. Remember that?
Yeah, that's takes great. Over. Madame Leroy was also mentioned in a Supernatural TV show called The... Uh-oh. You stopped taping. We'll have to edit it together. Also...
You gotta flip it.
I know.
You gotta flip it. Shoot. What happened?
All right. So also this character or this figure, Madame LaLaurie, was mentioned in the Supernatural series, The Originals. I didn't watch that.
Mm-mm, I never heard of that, honestly.
Well, have you ever heard? I think it's like a spinoff of The Vampire Chronicles or something.
Yes, I heard of it.
Yeah. So you wouldn't watch that.
Not the original.
No. One of the most popular stops on these ghost tours is this house. And people don't even call it the LaLaurie Mansion. They call it the Haunted House. It's that big in New Orleans.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And the fact that the American Horror Story made this, it was already infamous and now.
Can you imagine like the popularity of the place after that aired?
Yeah. But let me just tell you, obviously Hollywood and American Horror Story took creative liberties because only part of that story is a little bit true. They really ran wild with that. But her story is one of the most popular stories on these ghost tours. And I told you that Nicolas Cage owned him. Most people believe that ghosts of former slaves are causing most of the hauntings that you'll find there. For about 200 years, there were reports of paranormal activity coming from this house. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that they have attributed this to the slaves that were kept on the property. There's a room in the LaLaurie Mansion where slaves are often kept upstairs, and they report moaning that are pretty common coming from that room. Phantom footsteps echo throughout the house with regularity. And many people have stood near the house, even near it, have reported feeling like dark energy taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Despite all the ghost stories and paranormal happenings at the LaLaurie house, it would be folly to assume that all of them can be traced back to her and her mistreatment of slaves. In 1894, a tenant who lived at the LaLaurie mansion, the house was then converted into apartments, by the way, at one point, was brutally murdered in his room. So this is true. They found his belongings ransacked as if someone had gone through them. The police assumed that he was a victim of robbery, mm-hmm. even though nothing of value was found missing. And an interesting account. What we're taping?
Can I play Xbox?
No.
I need Xbox.
That our curse.
What's our curse?
I believe it's our children.
It might be our children. Ugh. All right. So these are real accounts of what happened in the house. Okay. So somebody was murdered, and then when they went through the scene of the crime, they found that nothing of value was missing. So kind of a strange murder.
Mm.
Uh huh. An interesting account regarding the murder deals with the police interviewing neighbors about his disappearance, and one of his friends claimed that he was having problems with sprites in his house, like the spirits.
Possibly getting into some things that he shouldn't have in terms of...
I don't know. No, I think I don't think he was happy about it. His friend wrote it off as his imagination running wild, but he did say something interesting. He claimed that his friend told him that there was a demon in the house that wasn't going to rest until he had met his end.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which the men did in this house. Is it possible that some of that, I don't know, ghostly phenomenon? Was, I don't know. Who knows? They've had lots of paranormal teams investigate and communicate with the dead that resides there, and maybe in the hopes to get into the bottom of it. At one point, the LaLaurie Mansion was, for a very, very brief time, a school for girls. And you know what that is.
A better place.
Well, you know what that is? A ton of energy.
Oh, right? Yeah, I can imagine.
Young girls.
Yeah, that's true. Puberty. What if they're like...
He hates the word puberty.
Teenagers.
No, yeah, prepubescent girls.
Please stop. I just don't...
have so much angst and energy.
I realize that's what that. One of them lives here right now.
That is what often produces poltergeist. By the way,
but
maybe it's
two things. Keep poltergeists away from our home. Is number one. Number two, pick up your dirty laundry. And your towels.
She can't. She's going through puberty. I don't know, but maybe it's Morgan. We should blame it on her. I don't know. She's the curse. I don't know. So at one point, it was a girls' school for a little bit of time. And then it was... and then it was converted into an all-girls African-American primary school.
Okay.
Within a short amount of time, reports of physical assaults came to light.
Yeah, that must have really pissed her off. Can you imagine?
What?
Like, you know, like, that the school, that the building became a school for
black girls. Oh, I guess. Well, the young girls would approach their teachers and have tears running down their face, and they would roll with their sleeves rolled up and say that their arms were bruised and scratched.
Think about it. If the place is haunted.
Well, listen, they said the teachers would say, "Who did this to you?" And the girls would say all the same thing, "That woman."
Yeah, because she obviously hates black people.
I guess. But these girls were very young, and they were probably not even aware of Madame Delphine and the tragedy. So perhaps... that's possible. I'm not sure. Ugh, that's sad too. Sure. Somebody also claimed that maybe the young girls were just playing pranks on the teachers.
Maybe.
I don't know. Who knows? But maybe it was Madame Delphine reenacting her revenge. Because she's a jerk.
Trying to, because that's all she had left.
Yeah. So they've had paranormal teams come in, and along with that has come psychics and mediums. Not everyone believes in that, but in this particular instance, the Ghost City Tours team brought in a psychic, and a psychic medium, to be specific. And throughout the entire night, she had sensed things about the location on the tour. And as she saw the LaLaurie Mansion at first. Mm-hmm. She had this like deep breath, and she just whispered such sadness. And then she went on to say that bricked up window, that's where the little girl fell out of.
Leaped to her death or fell to her death, was, you know, trying to escape from...
beat the whip.
The madam, yeah.
Yeah. The tour guide paused, and simply because she hadn't even gotten to that part of the story about the little girl. She then said, you know, no, you're right. There is a story that this little girl maybe had fallen into the courtyard and died. And as for the bricked up window, they suspect someone did some interior decorating, but wanted to maintain the symmetry of the outside house. So that wasn't even a window. Like, the psychic was able to identify that was a window there that was already bricked up.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. The medium experienced heavy emotions, like something settling on her shoulders. She sensed a young spirit of a young boy who liked to play pranks on the living, and the spirit of a young girl who was often nervous.
Oh, I think about like how sad that is.
It makes me sad. Yes. Yeah,
like, I mean, these are children that you feel as though you're running into, and like, I mean, all right. Their emotions.
So, well, the tour guide asked, does the little ghosts here, do they feel any helplessness or anger? And she said, no, whatever happened then at the LaLaurie house does not to visit the house any longer. Like the bad stuff. I don't know. So who knows if it's true. One story happened to a guide on the tour, one of the tours.
Okay.
One of our guides was lucky enough to experience something in the haunted house on Royal Street, the LaLaurie Mansion. On one occurrence, our guide was giving a ghost tour. They were outside the LaLaurie Mansion, directly across from the front door. To the right, another group was discussing the tragedies of LaLaurie, like about 50 feet away. But there, under the quiet moonlight, the story of 1834 slowly unveiled, and all of a sudden, our guide felt a tug on her messenger bag draped over her shoulder. She stopped amid her story and twisted to look over her right shoulder, and convinced that she might find a pickpocket or someone trying to steal things.
Mm-hmm.
It was right in the middle of the tour, she exclaimed. And she, but no one was there. When she turned back around to get back in character, no less than 10 seconds later, she felt a tug again, this time a little harder, like a short yank.
Sure.
Once again, she whipped around, no one was there. This time she told her tour what had happened, and their faces said like they were like scared or whatever else, I guess. And I guess they saw like a shadow behind her or something. The people on the tour.
It's like a person that's lurking.
Yes. So 2 weeks later at the corner of Governor Nichols Street and Royal Street, the mm-hmm. tour guide was out on the streets again, bringing around another tour. And the LaLaurie Mansion, of course, was the main hit. She'd positioned her group under a set of streetlights, burnt out for weeks. She launched into the story, but every minute she said the name Leah, which is, I guess, the slave girl
that that's her name.
Yeah, the lamps flickered on everyone. Everyone in the group paused, and I guess we're excited about that. The guide went on with the show, and when she said the name Leah again, those lamp lights blew out, and the light was gone.
That's really sad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that poor girl.
I don't know. Who knows? So, let's talk a little bit about her husband, just another connection.
Mm-hmm.
There were rumors that her husband was keeping his own set of secret slaves to practice Haitian voodoo on.
Great.
And Haitian voodoo medicine, to be specific, on. So, we're going to talk a little bit about New Orleans voodoo, just a bit. So, that brings us to another character in the American Horror story, and that was Angela Bassett's character.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she portrayed the voodoo priestess Marie LeVay.
Yeah, I remember her very well.
Yeah, so what you need to know about Louisiana voodoo, and there's all these, like, subdivisions of mm-hmm. it, right? So New Orleans voodoo, Louisiana voodoo, it describes a set of underground religious practices that originated from African descent. And it has so many influences from the French, the Spanish, the Creole, the Haitians, kind of all converge.
Blend of
which is cultures. I mean, it truly is a melting pot, an amalgamation of all of these different places.
Sure.
A lot of them are based in Catholicism because that's what they were exposed to.
A heavy influence
as a result of, like, the slave trade. Louisiana voodoo is often confused with, but not exactly separate from, Haitian voodoo or Southern hoodoo.
That's a real word?
Hoodoo.
Hoodoo? Is it really?
Yeah, and I use it a lot. So it's probably, I use it probably
that's
incorrectly.
Who knew? That's like a real hoodoo. Thing. I thought that was just like,
that's a real thing.
Made up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now you know.
Yes. There is a lot of, like, specifics about it, which I'll probably mumble through, and I'll probably offend somebody who add their practices any of these.
If you're offended,
if you're a voodoo queen and you practice hoodoo, apologies. Please don't do anything bad to me. But there are
poking holes in a doll.
Yeah, well, that's where the voodoo doll comes from.
That's gonna be you. It's gonna be like a yellow-haired doll.
Oh my gosh! Joke's on you. It's not my real hair. It's not my. Whatever. So I think it has to be true to you. All right. So they have another snake deity called Lee Grand Zombie.
Yes.
Okay.
Godzilla. Shout out to our python.
Grizz, which is a term, and that's what's associated with voodoo dolls.
Is it? Grizz?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a bear.
I guess so. So voodoo was brought over to the French colony through Louisiana and the slave trade. There are some core beliefs, okay?
All right, hit me with
that. So they recognize that one God who does not interfere in people's lives and daily lives and spirits that preside over daily life. So the spirits are the ones that are in the control, and that's who you communicate with.
Okay.
So they do believe in a one God, but that he's like an absentee father. Spiritual forces, which can be mischievous, shape daily life, come intercede in our life. They believe that you should connect with these spirits, and you do that through dance, music, singing, the use of snakes.
Again, snakes. Godzilla.
Okay. And unlike our, like, Christian image of the snake, they believe the serpent represents healing knowledge, a connection between heaven and earth, that deceased ancestors can also intercede in the lives of the voodoo followers.
And he's held in much higher esteem, obviously, than
the snake does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today.
I'll tell you. Stop typing.
Maybe we should.
The main focus of Louisiana voodoo today is to serve others and influence the outcome of life events through the connection with spirits, nature, and ancestors. True rituals are held behind closed doors, as any kind of showy ritual will be considered disrespectful to the spirits, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Voodoo methods include readings, spiritual baths, specially devised diets, prayer, and personal ceremony. Voodoo is often used to cure anxiety, addictions, depression, loneliness, and other ailments.
I need that.
Uh-huh. It seeks to help the hungry, the poor, and the sick, as Marie LeVay did. So she's really revered, right?
That's interesting, because in the story,
Well, yeah, they paint her as like a...
Yeah, she's kind of a...
Well, that's not apparently true.
Devious individual.
Yeah, apparently that's not true. That people were... They had all this like lore around her because she always appeared so young.
Really?
Yeah, and they always... That's where that comes from, is that she was a nice-looking lady and stayed young for a really long time, so they thought that was hoodoo.
Bassett's...
Well, she's beautiful. All right. Haitian voodoo was born of the blending of Catholicism, Western, and Central African spirituality. Scholars assert that the religion was influenced by escape slaves who wanted to inspire rebellions using this common spiritual identity. So I think that's really interesting. Later in years, in the years between 1835 and 1987, the Haitian government banned voodoo under their laws prohibiting ritualistic practices.
Oh, you know what? Remember when we watched that documentary that talked about voodoo and wrestling?
Yes.
Remember?
Kind of.
And then what they did was bring back voodoo by using wrestling?
Yes.
So, yeah. That was interesting. That was like 1980. So that would fit,
that would fit into that
time period, like the late 80s.
Right.
That voodoo was banned, but I mean, honestly, God, in Haiti, if you want to bring in more tourism and dollars and isn't voodoo like, wouldn't that be a reason in part to travel to Haiti?
Yeah, we're gonna get banned for this. However, welcome.
Oh no!
Guess who's
I know where you're going.
Guess who's completely into Haitian voodoo?
Let me guess.
What?
Hillary Clinton.
The Clintons. They've gone to Haiti lots of times to participate in voodoo ceremonies.
Well, listen, love voodoo.
Maybe they do. It's fantastic.
I hope they're listening right now.
No, well, Brian,
if you are listening,
Harry. No. Do you know how much blood they have on our hands? Two people in Pennsylvania, take care of us. I'm going to walk this back.
Pump the brakes, please.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, I'd appreciate if you would tune in and listen to us, Bill and Hillary.
I would appreciate if you didn't.
We'd love to.
I want no part of you two. Mm-mm, I'm good. All right. So, Haitian voodoo. So, they really tried to keep it low-key. But even elites in the Haitian world subscribe to this religion, like, just maybe secretly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Catholic Church,
not hard to believe,
based in Rome, forced Haiti to adopt.
Careful.
I'm going after the Catholic Church now. Roman Catholicism as its official religion. So that's where you get a lot of that crossover from.
Yeah. Plus, don't forget, the Catholic Church is huge down there in New Orleans, like Louisiana.
Yes.
So, yeah, you're going to have, I mean, it's like a massive influx
of
different cultures and beliefs.
Yes. So over the years, several anti-voodoo campaigns were launched by the Catholic and Protestant churches. It's nice that they agree on something.
Right.
Systematic attacks on voodoo temples and voodoo objects over decades paved the way for this religion to become predominantly associated with sorcery.
Well, think about it.
Anything that has any kind of agenda. Right.
Like, hey, you and I can work together because if we're going to do anything, let's work together and strike down voodoo.
Right.
We don't need somebody else coming in, you know.
What's cool, though, if you go to the, there's a website that you can go visit Madame Leve's shop. They have a store there. You can buy voodoo dolls and all kinds of things online. For my birthday.
Somebody else, I was going to say, somebody has a birthday coming up.
Somebody has a birthday.
Nicole's birthday is November 18th.
People don't understand. Jason does go out of his way to do things that are really
you
kind.
You characterize me as this person who's uncaring.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
That's not true. And because one Valentine's Day a couple years ago, he got me the Encyclopedia of Serial Killers book.
I did.
It was the most amazing thing. And all my girlfriends were like, "Oh, did he not get you flowers?" And I was like, "Flowers? I got a book on serial killers. Didn't you hear me?"
Every time I have tried to get her, well, not tried. I should refer. Every time I've got you flowers, you've complained about
them.
So I stopped buying flowers and started getting other stuff that you
I
like.
I don't like flowers. It's a waste of money. They die. For me, I have a strong connection to death regarding flowers. I do. Mm-hmm. It's my personal thing. I've had a lot of loss. Not a lot of loss, but I've had loss. And flowers coming to my door, I don't dig it.
Like I said, I stopped buying them.
Yeah, don't get me flowers.
Now you get books.
And I just think about the cost of it. Now I get serial killer books that I can covet. Mm-hmm. Or funny shirts. The people that, and we love, I love that. I'm not that hard. Or an Astonishing Legends.
How in the hell did this become all about your gifts for your birthday now?
I'm just saying I like that kind of gifts.
By the way, as I said, her birthday is November 18th, so, you know.
You sent me a birthday wish.
Right.
So I'd like to entitle this episode Haunted New Orleans Part 1, because we covered a little bit of voodoo, and I'd like to get into that deeper at another time. And we cover the Lori House, but listen, Louisiana has so much to talk about when it comes to haunted history. So we're going back at
Most importantly, we have to cut this thing off because one of our kids is downstairs crying, so we got to go down and see what the heck's going on. Yeah, just... no, very supervised child, please do not send the, you know, social services children and youth out here. They're supervised.
Why would you even say that? Such a thing. Our children are ridiculously well cared for.
Obviously,
they don't even deserve this. This kind of care. All right, so let's talk about our scary sidebars for the week.
Scary sidebars, here we go.
So I have a couple fantastic ones, okay? So my first one is I joined a new group.
These are my
favorite. I know, I joined a new group called Skinwalker Ranch. So I have kind of a Skinwalker Ranch update, but it also coincides with our missing time. It's short. So this person writes, me and my girlfriend and her daughter and boyfriend went to the ranch one night. We were immediately met by armed guards. We lived in Vernal at the time, about 35 minute drive from the ranch. When we left the ranch that night, that's all we remember. And about 6 hours later, we arrived back home, and none of us can explain or remember anything about those 6 hours. It's like they didn't even exist.
We just discussed this stuff last week with you.
Yes.
When you were talking about you and your mother.
Yes.
You drove to West Virginia when you were in college.
Yeah.
Here these people are talking about missing. Like, that happens so often in these cases.
I know.
People all the time are talking about missing time. So what the hell goes on?
I don't know. Who knows? To be determined. All right. You want to give us an update on UFOs?
Yes. Guess what, guys? According to the Pentagon, the DOD, UFOs could be potentially real. A story that came, that ran in 2017.
But it's been re-released.
The article is titled Real UFOs Pentagon Unit Tried to Know. Now, this was in the New York Times. So, why is it important? Here's why. The story breaks down that a federally funded program, what it did was investigate reports of UAPs, which is unidentified aerial phenomenon, also known as UFOs.
Yeah.
And what they found was, in one case that involved the firsthand account of a Navy pilot who was sent to investigate a mysterious aircraft that dropped from 80,000 feet all the way down to 20,000 feet.
These are the Tic Tac videos, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like little short videos. But anyway, the basis here is this Navy pilot, he's obviously very credible.
Yeah.
Eyewitness, reported to the feds.
Right.
To his boss, he said, hey,
lots of these.
This craft somehow dropped from 80,000 feet to 20,000 feet.
And we don't have anything that can do that.
Yeah. It seems impossible. Yeah. Or is it?
Well, I mean, I'm sure we're taking, like, technology from, like, Bob Lazar stuff. But, I mean, it's just another thing about disclosure. We see these stories that are embedded in our fabric of our narrative, I think just to get us comfortable
with
the idea.
It's like little, like, breadcrumb.
Drip, drip,
here,
drip.
here.
Right.
So, like, I mean, my big thing is, like, what's next? Like, when is the president, when is our government going to say, hey, UFOs are real, or there's these slips in time,
well, listen,
what have you.
2020 isn't over yet. And so I think the only thing left is aliens.
Once the president gets over coronavirus, maybe he'll, you know, he'll
announce.
He'll get maybe to the podium and announce that, you know, all this stuff's real. Who knows?
Maybe. In a related news, NASA outlines, this was a CNN article, the $28 billion plan to land the first woman on the moon in 2024. If you believe any of that. Just saying. I don't know.
That's assuming that there is a moon.
That it's not a hologram?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Something fun to report. Stephen King has reportedly, he's working on a sequel to the movie It, and they've already talked about producing a movie, you know, associated with it. Of course they did. Jason and I have on our watch list our Dr. Sleep. We're definitely going to watch that because we read the book. We did. And we're anxious to see the movie. So we love the series.
Actually, we read the book, watched the movie.
We didn't watch the movie.
No.
Dr. Sleep.
We read
the book.
We read the book.
Right.
And we watched the first It, but not the It Chapter 2. We haven't yet to watch that together. Or
right.
Neither of us have. Man, can you imagine? Like, that came out, when? 2 years ago or
and we
something?
Love it.
And we haven't even watched.
We got to make
too
plans.
Much stuff going on.
We got too much to do. All right. So I have a fun one. And listen, I'm going to not tell this person's name. They're in one of my private groups. However, if you hear the story by happenstance.
Oh, my God. If you go missing because this individual tracked you down.
No. I'm saying if you're listening and this is your story and you want me to give you credit or you want to come on air and talk to me about it or you want me to send you stickers or anything, I would love to do that. So I tried to send you a private message.
Oh, very nice. Very
okay.
Nice.
So here, she posts this. So my husband and I bought an 1850s bank house in Pennsylvania. I'm not going to say what.
Bank house?
Yeah, I don't know what a bank
house
is.
What does that mean?
Maybe bank owned?
Oh, sure.
Okay. It has personality, Native American roots, and a literal ton of history. We had moved into the house and he proposed the first weekend. Oh. Fast forward.
Proposed to do what?
Okay, marriage. Fast forward to me going upstairs to clean the bathroom. I put on gloves and scrubbed the toilet, tub, and sink. I came back downstairs, sat on the couch, and realized that my engagement ring was not on my finger. Figuring I had accidentally taken it off in the glove and that it was in the trash bin upstairs, I ran to get it. I emptied the bin, nothing. I searched the entire small bathroom, found nothing. I was now pacing. I knew I had only been in the bathroom, and now I had to telling my fiance that I somehow lost the ring. I paced, I cried, and finally walked into our bedroom. Trying to decide how to tell my love that I had lost the ring he gave me, the ring was in the middle of our bed.
Really?
I had not been in the bathroom. I am not been in the bedroom. I don't know how it would have gotten there. To this day, I credit the ghost in our house for finding my ring.
Finding it or taking it, potentially?
Oh, she thinks of it as lovely.
Well,
I don't know.
No, maybe so.
I mean, that's her perspective.
If, like,
she doesn't find it sinister.
Okay. I mean, it all depends on your perspective.
I guess so.
Because, like, my first...
Yeah. What's your first thought? This video is a bust.
It doesn't matter. This video... my thought was that it was lifted, you know, from her somehow and then placed on the bed. And,
right.
I mean, I would be scared by that for a push, or, you know,
right.
Spooked by it, whereas this individual obviously doesn't feel that way.
Right. So she obviously has a comforting thought about the ghost of the house.
Which,
right.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah. Last one, Glitch in the Matrix. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I just have a smidgen and a picture. All right. So I have somebody, he posted a car and it's all smashed up, and I'm not going to repost it, but it says, I vividly remember this girl at my school dying in a car accident after she drove off the side of an exit ramp.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Fast forward almost 10 years later, I've told my fiance this story enough times she knows the girl's name by heart. One day she's looking at my sister's Facebook page and says, "Hey, isn't that the girl who died?" I come over to check it out. Turns out she's alive and married to an old friend of mine with a kid, and no one remembers the car accident or a funeral.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know what they would call that?
That doesn't make any sense.
They posted this as
doppelganger or
no,
something?
No, they posted this as Glitch in the Matrix. What really it is the Mandela Effect. Have you heard of that?
As in Nelson Mandela?
It started with that. So there was a large portion of our population in the world that thought that Nelson Mandela had died years and years ago and proclaimed to remember and had watched the funeral on TV. I know this there's because my mother was
segment
one.
Of our population who
right that he a, hadn't died
like a what firsthand account
yes well,
not firsthand but yes. but that they
remember vividly
like news stories what yes. have you.
In fact, years ago when the whole concept of the Mandela effect
what
came
the
out
hell?
I mentioned to my mom something about it and my mom said, you know, isn't Nelson Mandela dead? And I said, no, he's not. At the time he wasn't. And I said, no. And she goes, I remember watching his funeral on TV. So anyway, apparently though, he wasn't. He that you know, he was dead many years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing about the Berenstein and the Berenstein books.
Berenstein Bears?
Yes. There are people who say they have
books.
I never
heard about this.
They have books that say Berenstein, and there are people that say, I have books that say Berenstein. And if you ask people, they will argue with you about which is right.
They say the same thing about one of our favorite actors who they theorize. We won't say his name. He's a very, very famous male actor who's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah? What about him?
That he potentially, he was alive. Maybe he's not actually alive
I think
anymore.
That's what they're talking about, like clones and the whole QAnon thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the Mandela effect. This is different. Hmm. So this is like where a whole population believes one thing, but it's not true or was true. It's very muddy.
So which one is it then? Is it that their memories are skewed, are jaded?
It could be.
Somehow?
But people say, I took a picture of the videotape of the Berenstein books, or the Berenstein Bears or whatever, and I can't even remember which one is correct now, but that a whole population remembered it wrong, or that it's both. There are people, one theory is, we can do a whole show on the Mandela effect.
Well,
one theory is that in a specific year, that the world went through some sort of time lapse,
mm-hmm.
and they split. And that one population went this way and remembers events that way, and that time went this way. It's very complicated. We'll get into it at some point. But there's lots of like the movie Shazam.
Kennedy assassination, something like that.
No, the movie Shazam.
Like a big event.
There is a whole population, and I'm going to get it wrong. Whether
Shazam.
Yeah, there's Shazam, and Shaq was in a movie about a
yeah.
genie, but then
yeah.
so was that other actor. Oh, I have to look it up. But
basketball player, or
well, Shaq is a basketball player. I know that. But there was a Sinbad.
Yes.
One of them doesn't exist. One of them never was a movie.
What?
Yeah, I'll have to look it up and we'll get back to you about this. One of them never was a movie.
We got to talk about
this. Like, I don't think Sinbad ever made that movie, or either Shaq didn't make that movie.
Well, Sinbad died, like, out of the blue. Like, just poof, was gone.
Yeah.
Like, he was alive. Well, like the guy,
But there's lots of these Mandela
effects. What about
the
guy just recently? Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into it.
Because, no, we'll get banned again. If we talk about conspiracy theories, we get banned.
Our video is just went kaput, so I don't think it matters.
We're
this
off
point.
The rails. All right. Well, that is another show. The Mandela effect is super creepy.
We got to get into that. Was, like, just...
There's a lot of examples of that.
Like, with people's... memories, like how, like
it's a there's a term for it too, in which all of our group memory, like a large portion of our population, is altered.
But what my thing is, like what is
what
it like
it?
is it biological, is it
depends on
the environment
ask. Oh, I think it's a time slip.
Is it okay, could it be a
yeah,
time slip,
that's
could
a lot,
it be
I believe.
The government, I mean, what, what's...
Well, I mean, I think it's a time slip. I think time is a not a linear path, and I think we are, like, I think it's really too complicated for my brain to figure out.
We got it. Well,
but I like the concept of that time is in a loop. Oh, thanks. That our time is in a loop, and it's not flat, that it's not linear, that it's has
who knows, man.
I don't know.
We need to get into this.
I know. To be determined. To be continued.
Before I forget.
Okay.
I would like to give a special shout out.
Okay.
To a couple of listeners who are also a husband and wife couple.
Okay.
They are Tim and Kelly. Kelly and Tim of Spring Grove.
Oh.
So thank you for listening.
Okay.
Please, you know, keep listening and reach out to us if you know, if you feel so inclined.
Yeah, and you're local, so
at
some point when things calm down a bit, and we can gather in groups again and not be scared of getting sick or anything, we would love to have, like, set up some sort of, like, meetup with people. I think that would be really fun.
By the way,
like in Gettysburg.
Kelly is a huge fan of the paranormal.
Oh, good. Well, then she's perfect.
She listens to our show, and she's a big fan of the Warrens, actually. She was telling
me. Oh, good. Well, we should talk about the Warren documentary that we watched, and that we have to finish. Yeah. But it's pretty good.
Next week.
What's the documentary called? The Devil's...
I can't remember. I can't remember.
Okay.
Can't remember.
All right. That's fine. We will talk about that next week.
Review of the show.
Okay. And if you would go to Apple Podcasts and give us a good review, we would love it. If you do that, I'll read your review on camera. You can follow us at The Couple That Scares Together on Instagram. Send me messages. Please go to our website and check it out. It's thecouplethatscarestogether.com. And you can find all important information on our email link is there. You can download episodes. And just thanks for all the support, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Have a great week.
See you next week.